Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is about a very special holiday that comes in July. Can you guess what it is? And I think you probably can. It is called 4th of July, where we celebrate with parades and fireworks and sometimes picnics with friends and lots of other good times. And it's because it was the independence of our country, the United States, from Great Britain, when this country was first colonized. It was by the British, and then Americans, as they grew, decided they wanted to be independent. So this story is about the 4th of July, and it's called My 4th of July by Jerry Spinelli. Noise! I wake up. I rush to the window. Parade! Drums, cymbals, pinwheels, flags, tricycles. It's the very best day of all. 4th of July. I join the parade. Grown-ups laugh and wave and point. I'm still in my pajamas. I forgot to get changed. When I get back, Dad is fetching the wagon. Hooray! He's home all day. Mama is in the kitchen getting ready for a picnic. The pie is in the oven. What kind? I ask her. You'll see, she says. She always says, you'll see. And the pie is always cherry pie. Time to do my job, I asked. Mama hands me a shaker. Get to work, she says. I add the final touches, a sprinkle of paprika on the deviled eggs. Everything goes into the wagon. Hot dogs, hot dog rolls, mustard, chopped onions, relish, pickles, everything hot dogs could need. I look at the clock. I call to everybody, hurry! I'm in charge of hurrying. There are only 25 picnic tables at the park. We must not be late. The wagon is filling up. Peanut butter-filled celery boats, potato salads, napkins, tablecloth, red, white, and blue cupcakes. In goes the surprise in a white box. There's always a surprise. What is it? I ask, and I always ask. You'll see, Mama always says. Paper cups, plastic forks, are we ready? Wait, I shout, don't forget the pie. I'm in charge of forgetting. Of not forgetting. Finally, out the door. Mama hands me a banana. I'm so excited that I forgot to eat breakfast. Can you believe that? Down the street to the railroad tracks. Look, black cloud, thunder. Oh no, storm is coming. Yahoo! It's a train rumbling round the bend. Flags flutter from the flanks of the great engine. We wave at the engineer. Down the path by the creek to the park. Hurry, hurry. I grab the pickle jar and run ahead. I plunk it on an empty table. It's ours. I can't wait. I beg for the surprise. Mama sighs. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I open the white box. Chocolate-covered strawberries, big as plums. Mom and Dad watch me. They can't stand it either, so they gobble up their surprises, too. For this one best day, the park is my backyard. Face painting. I'm a raccoon. Three-legged sack race. My friend Henry and I come in very last. We're laughing too hard to even care. Back to the table. Food, let's eat. We cook our hot dogs on the grill in the gazebo. We wait our turn. I like my hot dog with black stripes. There's a talent show in the band shell. There's my neighbor Sally. She sings a song called Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I'm Bogglepuss Sally. My next door neighbor Sally sings like an angel. She is really good. Concert. At the gazebo, the Tootletown 10 plays zippy music. Little kids rush to the stage of the gazebo to watch the band. Parents, too. Here come Mom and Dad. Back at the band shell, the biggest biggest flag I've ever seen is unrolling behind the stage. We all stand for the Star-Spangled Banner. The whole park is silent and still. Back to the picnic table. Eat some more. Again and again. Noseball race. I win. There they're pushing ping pong balls with their noses. Run to the zoo. Quack the ducks. The goat makes me laugh because he tries to bite my shirt. Monkey fingers reaching out through the wires. More food. That little boy's getting going to be sick. A potato pickle hot dog cupcake pie. Slow down, Mama says. But she doesn't mean it. She's smiling. The shadows are getting long. The sun is in the trees. The best part of the day is coming. Fireworks. I eat the last deviled egg. We toss the trash, give away the pickles, and that's what's left for the wagon. All that's left for the wagon is the tablecloth. Hurry, I say. I'm in charge of getting a good place. We find one on the outfield of the slopes of the baseball field. Soon we're surrounded by everybody. Everybody in town has got to be here, I think. 5,000 people, Dad says. Shadows creep across the field, all the way to me. Oh, the minutes crawl as I slide back into the empty wagon with the tablecloth. It's the longest wait there ever was, and there he is, asleep in the wagon with his head on the folded-up tablecloth, and his little dog that came to the picnic, too, is there with him. A thump in the dark, a sudden umbrella of lights, 5,000 faces aglow, the fireworks! Pinwheels and gushers, comets and twisters, my eyes cannot hold the wonders I see. My heart is cheering. A cannon booming volley, boom. I hold my ears. I scream with joy. And it's all over for another year. Car lights are flashing. Smoke is drifting from the baseball field. It smells like burnt toast. And that's what's left of the fireworks, the smell, leftover smell of burnt toast. And once again, I feel something I haven't felt since the 3rd of July. I feel sleepy again. A tablecloth becomes a pillow, and into the wagon I go, my own little train, with Dad as an engineer. Through the park, across the creek, down the path. I see nothing but stars. There are only stars, and my wagon, and me, and of course his little dog. I am overfilled in every way. I have seen too much, run too long, been too happy. And so I close my eyes. I am in charge of sleeping. And there they are, the boy and his dog snuggled up on the bed, sound asleep. Sounds like he had a really good day, doesn't it? Our next book is called Patrick Picklebottom and the Penny Book, and it's by a man named Mr. J. Young Patrick Picklebottom, who was always so poor, had only a penny when he entered the store. He walked past the candy, some toys, and a ball to the one thing he wished he could buy most of all. Guess what it was? Unable to purchase and resigned to just look, he longingly gazed at a dusty old book. He really wanted that book. "Would you like to buy this?" asked an elderly man. "I'd like to," said Patrick, "but I don't think I can. I've only one penny, and not one penny more." And then he hung his head low and turned toward the door. "As it happens," replied the kind-hearted gent, "this book only costs a single red cent." "Thank you so much," Patrick said to the man. Then, clutching his book, he turned round and ran, anxious for home to bask in the glory of his amazing new book and its incredible story. There he goes home with his book. He made it 3 blocks when he saw his friend Tom on the steps of his porch, staring down at his palm. In his hands was a smartphone, and he was swiping away, but stopped for a moment to look up and say, "Hey, Patrick, come here. I've got this new app. It shows me new pictures each time that I tap." "Pictures of what? And why would I care?" But Tom just looked up with a frustrated glare. "There's shots from all over. There's always a bunch. Look here, some girl posted a picture of lunch." And there he has his cell phone out, looking at all these different pictures that are popping up. "How else will you know what this world is about?" Patrick looked at his book. "I guess I'll find out." He continued towards home through a park round a tree, when he heard a voice call, "Hey, Patrick, come see." And he saw his friend Donna staring up at the sky. But it took him a moment to understand why. Up in the air, in the clouds, all alone, floating above them was a stealthy white drone. It veered to the left. Then it swung toward the sun. And Donna exclaimed, "See, isn't this fun?" That was her own drone, her own airplane, and she was making it switch directions and fly around. Looking confused, Patrick wondered aloud, "Well, I guess it'd be neat to be up in a cloud, but you're on the ground, and you're just standing still. So I'm sorry, but I guess I just don't see the thrill." Donna looked stunned, and she said with a sigh, "The thrill is controlling machines that can fly. How else can we capture the excitement of flight?" Patrick looked at his book, and he clutched it real tight. Leaving the park and back on the run, he was close to his home, so the sky lost the sun. He was at his front door with his hand on the knob, when he suddenly heard his neighbor friend, Bob. "Patrick, you're home. Come have a look. I've a new video game, so put down that old book. It's called Monsters Clash for my GameStation 5, and I've waited 2 weeks for this game to arrive. We've captured these beasts who've escaped from their collars." "But that game," Pat exclaimed, "costs $300. Bob just replied, "Well, how else can you battle monsters all day?" But Pat clutched his book and said, "I might have a way." He didn't need all this pretend stuff. Up in his room, he tucked into his bed with a small single lamp aglow near his head. He read through his book, each page without fail, each chapter a story, its own separate tale. He read about kingdoms and lands far and wide where heroes and monsters and dragons collide. He read about rockets blasting out past the moon, and as his eyes closed, he knew that real soon he'd dream of adventures, and of course there'd be many from a book that he bought for a single red penny. And that is the end of that book. And Patrick was really enjoying his book because it was showing him the world and all about it and different stories that he could never have imagined, but places he always thought would be so great to visit, and fairy tales and dragons and all sorts of things. Nothing that you could get just in a plain old pretend app or on a game at a game station. He had the real thing in his hands. This story is called "There's a Witch in Your Book," and it is by a man named Tom Fletcher. "Eek! There's a witch in your book. Yikes! What a mess she's making. And she is pouring paint and frogs and all sorts of stuff." And the book says, "Wipe the mess away and turn the page." So let's wipe that mess away, and I'm going to turn the page. I don't know if you heard me wiping the mess away, but I did. And now I'm going to turn the page, like the book says. Well done, you've cleaned up the mess. But uh-oh, now that witch looks cross. I don't think she likes us unmuddling her mess. Watch out! She's about to turn you into a toad. Quickly, hold up your hand to block the spell. I don't want to turn into a toad, do you? Phew! You caught that magic in your hand. What a cheeky witch. Let's teach her a lesson and turn her into something instead. Use your finger as a magic wand and say these words. Magic this, magic that. Turn this witch into a cat. Did you do it? Did you turn that witch into a cat? The spell worked. You turned the witch into a stinky little cat. But look, she has fleas and they're hopping all over your book. Let's try to get them. It's impossible to catch fleas and hit them with your hand. Use your magic wand finger and say this spell. Magic silly, magic funny. Turn each flea into a bunny. Whoops, I had to think long and hard to see what would rhyme with funny. Oh, no, we did not think that through. And now your book is full of bunnies. They're hopping all over the place. What are we going to do? Okay, I know just the spell to get rid of those bunnies hopping all over. Finger wands ready? Magic far, magic near. Make those bunnies disappear. Whoops! Those bunnies are see-through right now. But you can see these little things popping around in your book, but they're still in your book. Now they're bubble bunnies. Try poking all the bubbles with your magic wand finger. And there's that witch that was turned into a stinky cat with fleas in a great big bubble. And all the bubble bunnies are there still. And let's say, pop, all the bubbles pop, including the witch's bubble. Arg, those bubbles were full of slime. Now your book is even messier than it was before. Oh, dear, this has all gone horribly wrong. If only we knew someone who could put everything right. Meow. Oh, yes, the witch, of course. Do you think she might be more helpful this time? Let's try turning that stinky little cat who's full of fleas back into a witch. Fingers wands up. Magic scratch, magic itch. Turn that cat into a witch. Great, the witch is back, and I think she has a spell to help us. Will this clear up the slime? Whiz-whack-a-roo, says the witch as she waves her wand. Uh-oh, her spell made a hole in this book, but she has a plan. Use your hand to help witch swoosh all the slime through that hole. Swoosh! And there I go, swish across the page. Goes right through the hole in the page. Done! Your book is all tidy. Thank you, witch. But wait a minute. If you swoosh the slime through the hole, it must mean that now your room is messy. Take a peek through the hole and look at your room. Phew, I don't see any slime. I do think your room could be a bit tidier, don't you? And witch, when you tidy up, please, no magic spells. Now, you have such a tidy book. I think it's time for a spooky sleepover. Shall we do one more spell? Yes. Use your magic wand finger, to make some spooky sleepover guests appear. Magic snoozy, magic dozy. Call some friends, and let's get cozy. It worked. Have a fun sleepover, and your room now is filled with little tiny spooks and even a bunny and still that silly little witch and all your friends. And they're all going to have fun. But try not to make too much of a mess, guys. And that is the end of that book. Our next book is called Teach Your Dragon to Stop Lying. Howdy there, how do you do? Pleased to meet you. My name's Drew, and this guy here beside me is my dragon, Diggory-Doo. Don't be afraid or run away. My Diggory-Doo is tamed. Though dragons can be scary, not all dragons are the same. And there's Diggory-Doo, the dragon, sitting on the wall beside Drew, drinking a drink out of a coconut shell. He's drinking the coconut milk. Dickory's learned a lot ever since he's been my pet. I don't think I've ever met a better dragon yet. I've taught him self-control and not to start a fire. But Dickory still had too much to learn, had much to learn, to not to be a liar. Once I asked my dragon if his homework was all done. No homework today, said Dickory Doo. Let's go have some fun. And then I looked inside his backpack. I could not believe my lies. I found a spelling worksheet. Dickory Doo was telling lies. I'm done. At home we have a rule. We must put our toys away and laundry in the hamper before going out to play. And Dickory Doo says, I'm done with putting my toys away and my laundry away. One time Dickory said, I'm done. But what he'd done instead was stuffing his dirty clothes and toys underneath his bed. Can you believe that? Mother baked a chocolate pie, but said we had to wait. You can have a slice, she said, when you've cleaned your plate. But Dickory sneaked into the kitchen, and he gobbled up the pie, the whole pie. It wasn't me, said Dickory Doo, but that was just a lie. Dickory caught a little fish, but told a whopping tale that with nothing but a fishing pole, he had caught a whale. And it really was just a tiny minnow he had in the bottle. For when he has a story to tell, he doesn't tell it straight. Dickory Doo, I warned him, you should not exaggerate. When he didn't do his homework, he would not admit it. I left it on the bus, he said, but promise I did it. Dickory Doo, I told him, it should come as no surprise if your teacher gets suspicious that you might be telling lies. No throwing balls inside the house. Mom warned us every day. But Dickory disobeyed his mom and did it anyway. When Mom heard the mirror break, she ran to see. It was Drew, said Dickory Doo. I swear it wasn't me. This has got to stop, I cried. I was really getting mad. But Dickory did not understand why telling lies was bad. It's no big deal, said Dickory Doo, and you know very well that no one's getting hurt if I make up stories to tell. Everybody lies, he said. I'm not the only one. Sometimes I only do it because I think it's kind of fun. And when I've done what I should not, a lie comes in real handy. I can say it wasn't me, and everything's just dandy. Look, listen to that little dragon tell that. Dickory Doo, I told him, what you're doing is a shame. Telling lies is very bad. It's not a harmless game. The next time you are tempted to tell something that is not true, you should think of how you would feel if someone lied to you. Liar, it shows a picture of two boys walking past Dickory Doo, calling liar at him. When people cannot trust you, they don't want to be your friend, and a broken friendship is very difficult to mend. Please think about your teachers, your family, your friends, and me. When you tell us lies, we're as disappointed as can be. And there shows the mom and dad and some friends. They're all looking very angry, and the teacher, all of them are looking very angry at what Dickory Doo has done, telling lies. But others aren't the only ones who hurt when you're not true. Please realize that telling lies is hurtful to you, too. You can't be truly happy when you know you're being bad. When you have a guilty heart, it leads to feeling sad. I did it. I'm so sorry, says Dickory. When you do what you should not, be honest and admit it. Don't put the blame on someone else when you're the one who did it. And there it shows Dickory apologizing for eating all the mother's chocolate pie. You'll be a better dragon when you learn from your mistake. If you stop telling lies, what a difference it will make. Diggory looked a little shocked and said, "I never knew that so much damage could be done by telling what's not true." Diggory-doo declared, "I'll not be lying anymore. I'll be a better dragon than I've ever been before." My dragon learned his lesson. I'm so proud of Diggory-doo, and what's good for little dragons is also good for you. So think before you speak, and here's what I advise. Only speak what's true and avoid telling lies. And there it shows Diggory and all the friends playing in the yard and having fun. And Diggory is looking very happy, and everybody's his friend again. He has not lost any friends. So that is the end of that book. I think that's pretty good, and it even rhymes. Pretty nice, huh? The Butterfly Ballerina is the name of our next story. Isabella Ballerina loved ballet. Best of all, she liked to go to Madame Colette's ballet school. "Let us practice our ballet positions," called Madame Colette one morning. "No, no, Isabella, you are pointing the foot wrong again." "Sorry," Isabella said, "I'm always getting my left and right feet mixed up." "Now, girls," cried Madame Colette, "I have exciting news to announce. We will be putting on our first show, the Butterfly Ballet. I will choose girls to play raindrop butterflies and rainbow butterflies, and one girl to dance as a sunshine butterfly." Back home, Isabella told Mom all about the ballet show. "I just wish I could remember my left from my right." Mom smiled. "This might help," and she gave Isabella a beautiful butterfly bracelet. "Wear it on your right wrist, then you'll always be able to tell which way is right." At each ballet lesson, Isabella kept looking at her butterfly bracelet to make sure she turned the right way. Finally, after many rehearsals, Madame Colette told the girls their roles. "And Isabella, you shall play the sunshine butterfly. As you twirl so beautifully, you will dance the final pirouette," said Madame Colette. Isabella smiled. The week before the show, Isabella practiced her pirouettes everywhere. She twirled in the garden, in her bedroom, and at the park. On the night of the big show, all the girls dressed in tutus and shimmering butterfly wings. Lights dimmed, beautiful music filled the room. The ballet was about to begin. At last, it was Isabella's turn to dance. Nervously, she touched her butterfly bracelet, and then taking a deep breath, she twirled the most perfect pirouette she had ever twirled. The girls joined Isabella on stage, and they curtsied. "Oops," said Isabella. She had put the wrong foot forward, but it didn't matter one little bit. She would always be Isabella Butterfly Ballerina. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Children's Story, of Read to Succeed. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on North Carolina Reading Service.